To say that COVID-19 has been a major disruption in everybody's life is an understatement. It certainly has been a disruption in schools all throughout St. Clair County, throughout the state of Michigan, across the country. Joining us right now is St. Clair County Reese's Director of Legal Services, Gene Sturtridge. Gene, good morning. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning, Paul. Thanks for having me.
So we've seen certainly a lot of, you know, crisis around this, but we've seen some good things happen in our schools too, haven't we?
Oh, we absolutely have. And in our neighborhoods, our communities, really, people are stepping up and doing what they can. And I'm really proud to be part of RESA, and we're getting to do a lot of that. So that's nice.
What are some of those things that people may or may not know about that have been going on in these past several weeks?
Well, as everybody has been kind of hunkered down and feeling, you know, somewhat isolated, I think that the schools generally and RESA specifically are really grateful for the powerful teams that they've assembled. And so what we find is, you know, I'm aware that Port Huron Area School District, for example, since March 16th, has provided over 300,000 meals to their students and then their kids. You know, I'm aware that people are working hard to try to bring a little, I don't know, perspective. I mean, mm-hmm. and it's hard to say perspective because people are thinking, oh my gosh, this is once in a lifetime kind of crisis. But there are those glimmers, those moments of people really finding things to be grateful for. And never more clear than when you're out helping or when you're able to work with families and students and teachers. And I think we've all heard on different shows or in different articles this greater appreciation for what teachers and schools do on an every day. So, yeah, we've been doing some things that are, I think, critical to not only our kids at the RESA at Woodland and Tech, but really for families and that sense of you can rely on us, information, and then our local districts partnering with them. You know, those relationships that were really forged in brick and mortar are even more evident and apparent as we're in the ether. You know, yeah. I mean, we are really working every day. This team of RESAs, for sure, as well as the locals, are able to continue meeting by distance. You know, we're all learning the kinds of platforms that families are struggling with, what, you know, students are struggling with. We're holding many, many meetings, both at the, you know, the local level, the county level, state level. And we're all doing it from, you know, remote Zoom or Hangouts or whatever kind of platform. And there's some teaching and learning going on for the adults as well. This is not limited to the students in our area.
Absolutely. Now, I wanted to get your perspective as the Director of Legal Services. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you found out in March, as we all did, that, oh, we're going to have to close the schools, and it may very well be for the rest of this school year, what were some of the concerns that you had and that you still have moving forward in how we do school now in this age of COVID-19?
Well, a couple of things that I think are the real, you know, the real issue, if you will, and I don't want to call it a problem, but, you know, the governor has issued over 60 executive orders related to the COVID-19. And so although many speculated back on March 16th or 13th when she made her announcement that we might be closed for the entire school year, that really was not the tact that was taken. Initially, you know, we all were hopeful that it was going to be a couple of weeks and spring break was scattered in there. And we thought, well, you know, we're going to do a deep clean. We're going to, you know, we're going to kind of keep the status quo. We're going to try to, you know, soldier on and figure out how we can work for the next couple of weeks. And then those 2 weeks became 4 weeks. And now then it was the end of the year. And so that was really, even though many of us believed it was going to happen, you know, you can't plan on that until you hear those words. And so once that was abundantly clear, we still had kind of a limbo period where it wasn't clear exactly how we were going to be required or expected, you know, to implement this distance from a learning from a distance. Mm-hmm. It's not distance learning, it's learning from a distance. And yeah. So, you know, we had to then kind of be nimble and adjust and try to find those most important things as we were going forward. And I think one of the key things that maybe your listeners are not aware of, and maybe they know it in their own lives, but they don't know how schools fit into that, is, you know, the most important thing that I think we do and the law requires, in fact, in the governor's executive orders, it really talks about a focus on that social and emotional aspect component of what children and families get from school.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just with their peers, but it's the idea that there are people, you know, there are their teachers, their custodians, their lunch ladies, their principals that really provide that, you know, hope that no matter what your condition, no matter what your situation, when you're in school, that is a great equalizer.
Yeah.
And so that idea that you can find what you need, you know, whether it's behaviorally or academically or emotionally or just the structure that our schools provide in those components and taking care of the least of us as well as the most of us. And so I think that was identified in the governor's executive order. And how do we do that without infringing, if you will, on parent decisions? You know, and that's a balancing act that we can do 6 hours a day or 6.5 hours a day when we're in school. But when we're asking people to come online, you know, to have us, you know, call them at their homes and ask them, you know, how can we help you and your student? What we're finding is sometimes it's getting them toilet paper. You know, they can't even get to, yes, my child needs to have some help in algebra or in fractions or in reading. It's, we have a family member that has been impacted. You know, we don't, you know, we've been laid off from our jobs. We don't know how we're going to figure this out. And so having that very steady, known person on the other end, that teacher, you know, that parapro, that principal, that whoever they are, not just when we're bringing food to people's homes or having them meet up, you know, and pick up food, but really recognizing that there are people that are, you know, access is really denied for so many. And so having that lifeline to the schools, you know, that we've kind of taken for granted over the years, you know, you put your child at a bus stop and, you know that you're going to have some safety for 6.5 or 7 hours. That's all gone at once. And so it rocked people to its core. And I think it's still, we're going to see some impact and some things from that, even as we move forward.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to see this impact. This is not, you know, okay, we finished the year and from a legal perspective, okay, now our work is done. Or even from the academic or any other perspective. It's now, this is who we have. These are our people. These are our children. And they're coming back. And this has been traumatic for families, for children, for their peer groups, for their teachers. I mean, all of us are struggling with, you know, whoa, this can happen. And we're shaken to our core. And one of the things, if you don't mind me saying, is, you know, I don't view this as normal in any way. And so, you know, when things happen, a lot of times we go to that, it's our new normal. And this is not any part of normal.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't our new anything. This is our now. This is what this is. And we have been given this. And we have, you know, as a society, as a community, as a county, as an educational community, you know, we are treating this as this is what we do for now. But we know that we're going to get to eventually get to some sense of normalcy, but right now, no, this is just now. And I think everybody truly is doing the best they can, you know, families, kids, grandparents, community members, teachers, you know, everybody involved is really, you know, we're all focusing on hopefully the good. You know, we're seeing some renewed unity and support for each other, and I hope it doesn't go away. That part of it, I hope, doesn't go away. Because, again, it's, the law is only as good as the questions that get asked and get decided in court. You know, the law is only as good as the people who implement it. You know, the law gives us framework, but it's the heart. You know, it's the soul. It's the brain. It's all of those things working together with a sense of empathy that I think makes us all better.
Yeah, absolutely. Jean, what do you think school looks like in the fall, in September?
Well, I don't have my crystal ball here.
Yeah, I don't
right
either.
Now.
I wish I did.
I think there's a lot of uncertainty, which, you know, again, is very obvious. But I think we're going to try to recalibrate a little bit. I mean, I think we're going to have to look at, you know, the kids or, you know, the kids that we get back in the fall, whenever that is, you know, whether it's a phase in, whether it's, you know, alternating days or whatever. The state hasn't been clear on how they're going to help us fund some of these challenges, because some of the suggestions, although they make logical sense, you know, don't put, you know, 32 kids in a class, or don't put 60 kids in a gym class. Okay, we all get that. Mm-hmm. But what's the alternative? You know, do we have three different bus routes? You know, how do we pay for some of those things? And we know that the budget has taken a horrible hit in the state. But, you know, we're going to have to see a little bit of guidance from the state to see, you know, what, when it's safe. The other thing that can't be overstated is Dr. Mercantant and her crew, and Justin and his crew, you know, they have been remarkable. And we do have some very fragile students at the RESA. You know, at Woodland, we have some health, for, you know, fragile folks. And, you know, even when other people may be able to return, we don't know what that looks like from a health department perspective for our specific population. So I think we're all going to be learning together. But I think that, you know, we're going to have to be conscious, because I think all the scientists and all the experts are telling us that this is not just a blip on the screen. This is going to be with us for the foreseeable future, until we can, you know, have the vaccine, until we can have some better ideas how this virus is going to react to different, you know, medical interventions. So it's a long answer to a question I wish I knew the answer to.
Well, we all wish that we had the answer, absolutely.
Yeah, but I think that it's going to be a bit different. And the other thing is, our kids are going to be a bit different. Our families are going to be a bit different. And I can't overstate that. You know, we're going to be having kids that missed out on a third of their year. And so now as we go back, you know, we can't just say, okay, we're going to open our books to page 42 and start over. No. You know, we're going to have to go back and reteach, and we're going to have to make sure that everybody's on the same page. And some of our special needs kids are really going to need to have some real reinforcement. And we're trying to do some of that. But again, this is not the model that those kids can thrive in. Mm-hmm. And when I say those kids, I mean our kids. I mean, all of our kids aren't, this isn't how they're meant to thrive either. So.
Unusual circumstance, no doubt about it. But you're right that schools, I think, you know, if we've ever taken schools for granted, we won't again for a long time. We know how important they are beyond just places of learning. I mean, they are communities that our kids really rely on.
Well, they do. And again, our community, our families, our kids rely on. And if you think back, and, you know, I'm a civics nerd and a history, you know, person, but when you think back of those, you know, back 250 years ago, when those small communities developed, you know, they had a place where their kids came, and the whole community, that's where you met. You know, I remember, and of course I'm 100 years old, but I remember, you know, you got your vaccines at your school, you got your teeth cleaned, or your, you know, fluoride treatment. The community has always rallied around that place, which is what they are proud of, which is where we entrust our next generation, and that's our school. And you know, I enjoy hearing on all the morning, you know, TV shows or whatnot about how everyone is, you know, thinking what a hard gig teaching is all of a sudden. It's been a hard gig for 100 years, you know, and it's not getting any easier. But everyone's
not
saying, how much we appreciate, you know, how much we appreciate our teachers. Well, heck, sure we do. And we should have been doing it all along. So if this is that moment in time that gives all of us a chance to be really grateful for what education can do for all of us, and create the society we want, the communities we want, you know, good for us. If this is what it takes, I'm sad about that, but I'm grateful that we get the chance to kind of take a breath and remember that, wow, we really are critically important to the growth and, you know, both, you know, from a financial aspect and a quality of life aspect. So, yeah,
absolutely.
I can't wait for people to get back together and get to thank one another. And this is Teacher Appreciation Week, so.
There you go.
Maybe it's an extra time. Maybe it's an extra time that we don't forget that all of us are teachers too. You know, our custodians, our lunch ladies, our parapros, our gardeners, everybody, parents. and we all have a chance to teach. What are we teaching? You know, are we teaching the best of us, or are we showing some bad behavior, as we've seen in some of the horrific news stories where, you know, people doing their job asking someone to put on a mask, it costs them their life. That just can't be. You know, we just can't be that.
So. Kids are always listening. They are always listening
and
learning.
So.
Yeah.
And watching, Jean, more importantly, because we can say the right thing, but
exactly.
I think we all know that, you know, they're watching how we react in a time of crisis. And if we panic, it's a perfect time to panic for them. And if we keep our heads and we're grateful and we do what we can, you know, we can't do everything, but we can do all that we can to make it better for our kids, for each other. And it's probably a good time to mention some self-care here, too. You know, we have to put on our, we can't pour from an empty pitcher. You know, you can't help others until you're sure that you're finding the best in yourself, too, to rise to the occasion. So,
boy, that's
for
sure.
I'm grateful to be part of the RESA team.
You guys are doing a great job, everybody at RESA and all of our individual school districts throughout the county.
Absolutely.
It's not an easy thing that we're going through, but you guys are making the most of it. We appreciate that.
Well, thank you so much, and continue, please, to highlight the good in our community and really know that we are all in this together, and we're going to rise and fall together, and let's hope we continue to rise, okay?
Absolutely. Nowhere to go but up. Jean, thanks for your time. We appreciate it. Have a great day.
Thank you. Thanks so much. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.